Friends, delegates, and fellow Americans, I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States.
That, of course, is Donald Trump addressing the Republican National Convention at the convention's conclusion last night. It was an unusual convention week, at least compared to those of recent decades, with some clear party discord throughout the week in Cleveland. To assess what was accomplished, we turn again to our political team, Republican analyst Todd Dombke and Democratic analyst Dan Payne. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Bob.
And good morning to Dan Payne.
Morning, Bob.
So after a week of turmoil on every night of the convention up to last night, in his speech last night, did Donald Trump do what he needed to do to stabilize the campaign and convince skeptical voters that he's ready to be president, Todd?
Well, the speech appealed to Trump's base voters. It was populist and nationalist. The theme was America first. The message: be afraid. Be very afraid. And I noticed on Twitter that it was praised as a great speech by David Duke, the white supremacist. Trump emphasized he was the law and order candidate and claimed he alone could fix what he called a rigged economic and political system. It was not conservatism. It was authoritarianism, because he wanted great power so he could fix every problem. But to undecided voters, independents, and moderates, the rhetoric was scary, dark, divisive. 1.5 hours of shouting. But to his supporters, it was red meat. His campaign is betting that the 2/3 of voters who think the country is going in the wrong direction will see him as the confident change candidate.
Dan Payne.
He gave a speech that, to quote Hunter Thompson, was full of fear and loathing. He made America seem like a banana republic, full of crime and poverty and anger and hopelessness. It was the antithesis of what the Republican hero Ronald Reagan would give. It had no hope, no uplifting sentiment. It was cocky, not confident. It was brash and full of empty promises. He promised to solve virtually every domestic and foreign problem soon and fast.
All right. We know that the convention delegates last night seemed to be excited by the speech from the interviews afterwards. But we also know that a lot of key Republicans from around the country, including our own Governor Charlie Baker, skipped the convention. So did Donald Trump this week come even close to unifying this Republican Party?
Well, not unless you believe Ted Cruz unified the party by refusing to endorse Trump, and not if you believe that Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, unified the party by insulting the governor of Ohio, one of the most important states in the general election. And it's not unified when Trump delivered a speech which demonized Mexicans and Muslims and treated black people exclusively as victims.
Well, the convention only brought attention to the divisions in the party. It made them worse. The rhetoric often sounded hateful and reinforced the never-Trump Republicans, who viewed Trump as a dangerous demagogue and his supporters as an authoritarian cult. The party wasn't unified by the convention. It's more fractured now than ever.
Pluses or minuses, was there a major mistake that the party made this week with the convention that it's going to pay? I'm not talking about the stuff that just made a headline, but something that the party might pay for deeply come November.
Well, I would say booing Ted Cruz off the stage highlighted that the party is divided and helped keep it divided. So booing him for saying, vote your conscience, really will turn off a lot of even non-Republicans. Another mistake was the speech by Melania Trump, not just the plagiarism, a story that went on for 36 hours because the Trump campaign kept lying about it, but also, like all the family members, Melania didn't offer any anecdotes about Trump's character, his heart, just his business success. The convention was an opportunity to present Trump as a more likable, less arrogant person, but that did not happen.
Well, I think the single biggest mistake was Trump's manager insulting the governor of Ohio, John Kasich, whose state has the 5th largest number of electoral votes. That's high risk.
All right. A positive for the Republicans at the convention, Dan Payne?
Governor Mike Pence of Indiana came across as a decent person. His speech and his manner were Midwestern wholesome. He's very conservative and can be very boring, but the evangelicals and the far-right ideologues in the Republican Party like him. It's not clear, though, that he'll be able to deliver his home state of Indiana, but that's where he's probably going to spend a lot of his time.
I agree with Dan that Mike Pence came across as a nice guy. His speech was pretty bland and boring, and it came on too late because of the Ted Cruz drama. But he seemed like a nice guy, although he did remind me of Admiral Stockdale, Ross Perot's running mate, who introduced himself at a debate by asking, "Who am I? What am I doing here?"
At the core of the party at this moment is a palpable hate of Hillary Clinton. The chants about jail Clinton are still echoing across Cleveland, I think. But is that enough to beat Clinton? Can you win without widespread respect for Donald Trump? Is a win on a negative alone likely?
Well, undecided voters don't have to like Trump, but they shouldn't distrust and fear him. And they need to believe he can be presidential, somebody with the temperament and wisdom to be a reliable commander-in-chief. But the only positive view of him really came through in that video narrated by John Voight that preceded Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump. And that is not as convincing sometimes as the candidate himself seeming in an authentic way to be trustworthy.
Well, Trump's negatives are higher than Clinton's, so winning solely by trashing her is not going to get the job done. Trump tried to supply some content last night, but all it amounted to was a mountain of promises without any policies. And his claim of getting the best people wasn't borne out this week at the way the convention was run.
All right. Last question. I'm just looking for a number. Does Donald Trump get the traditional polling bounce out of this convention? If so, how much, Todd Domke?
I'd expect just a few points, a small bounce, because all that coverage usually gives a candidate a boost. But in this case, the convention was so bad, I wouldn't expect much.
Single digits under 5?
Yes.
Dan Payne.
Well, traditionally, a convention is worth a little over 6 points. He may get a few points knocked off his negatives, but his vote versus Hillary won't change much. He's still got very high unfavorables by groups like women, minority, college-educated people, and that's not going to change.
So single digits under 5?
Under 6.
Okay. Dan Payne, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bob.
Same to you, Todd Domke.
Good to be with you, Bob.
Last night in Cleveland, the balloons came down and Republicans celebrated after Donald Trump stated his case to be the nation's next president. Trump laid responsibility for lawlessness at home and terrorism abroad on Hillary Clinton and promised to return the country to safety, prosperity, and peace. The speech capped 4 days of political surprises, divisions, and drama. But for all that went on at the Republican National Convention this week, some say there was little talk of real policy. That story from WBUR's senior political reporter, Anthony Brooks.
Among those who say there was a notable absence of detailed policy proposals at this week's convention is John Civilella. He's a Massachusetts delegate who supported Marco Rubio and a political scientist with Boston's Libertarian Pioneer Institute.
When you're in a situation, you have most of a week to talk about the party and to talk about the candidate. Part of that week should be set aside to mention some policy specifics.
But for the most part, Civilella says that didn't happen. And he says the dearth of policy detail reflects the party's new leader. Civilella says Donald Trump offers a lot of emotion and big goals, but few policy details.
You know, he's taking a macro approach and kind of the, you know, broad political leader approach and changing paths.
For example, in his acceptance speech last night, Trump promised to make America safe again, but didn't really explain how to get there.
My plan will begin with safety at home, which means safe neighborhoods, secure borders, and protection from terrorism. There can be no prosperity without law and order.
Another observer who believes that this convention was relatively short on policy proposals or debates is Ken Rudin, a former political editor for NPR and host of the Political Junkie podcast.
You didn't hear that at the convention, though. One, there was questions about uniting behind Donald Trump and certainly attacking Hillary Clinton. That was the big two themes here. He was against the war in Iraq from the beginning. That was questionable. But he picks Mike Pence, who was for the war. And then you say, well, is there going to be a little mini debate? You didn't hear any of that in the convention in 2016.
Rudin says, by contrast, many past conventions offered big policy discussions and debates. In 1964, Republicans debated Barry Goldwater's foreign policy. In 68, the Democrats debated Vietnam. And more recently, in 2008, they debated the war in Iraq.
Those kind of policy questions, Vietnam, the economy, Iraq, things like that, in previous years, previous conventions were big, big issues.
But Lou Murray, a delegate from Quincy, argues that modern conventions aren't the place to get bogged down in policy details because he says it's not what the voters want.
And it's not the time for PowerPoint plans like Mitt Romney was constantly pulling out of his back pocket. You just come off as dull and robotic, and that's what the American voter ultimately thought of Mitt Romney. Unlike Mitt Romney, when Donald Trump talks about we're going to make America first again, we're going to make America secure again, the people know what he's talking about, and we don't need a brochure left on our seats here on the convention floor to tell us each and every step of the way that he's going to do it.
But Murray's fellow delegate, John Civilella, disagrees with that. Civilella understands that Trump is leading a populist movement and not a policy seminar. But he says Democrats are talking about some policy specifics, like how to make college more affordable and health care more available. And he says Republicans should get specific, too.
And you need these proposals to put them out there to kind of get a robust discussion going, to kind of connect the dots, between your grassroots and between the goals that you want to reach.
On the convention floor yesterday, one prominent Republican rejected the idea that this convention lacked policy specifics. It was former House Speaker Newt Gingrich who addressed delegates Wednesday night. He became defensive that the question was even asked.
I gave a speech last night that was as definitive and as authoritative on national defense and the war with radical Islamism as you're going to hear. Somehow that doesn't count. Okay?
Well, no, I'm just asking you to respond to folks who say that there's not a lot of policy being discussed. But you got a point.
I suspect by the time they get done with Pence's speech and now with Trump's speech, you go through Pence's speech, he talked about policy after policy. Listen, I assume the elite media is the other team's offensive line. I don't expect you guys to ever be fair to us, and I don't expect you to ever give us a break.
And with that, Gingrich ended the interview before I could make the point that the question had come from a fellow Republican. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks in Cleveland.
While the Massachusetts delegation to the Republican National Convention has appeared a bit divided for most of the week over its support for Donald Trump, most delegates came away from the final evening heaping praise on the speech that Donald Trump delivered last night. Lou Murray is a delegate from Quincy.
It was a message of energy, of positivity, of safety, of economic security, and of a country that treats everyone equally, regardless of race, creed, or the sexual orientation, and I absolutely loved it.
With us from Cleveland this morning is another delegate from Massachusetts, a longtime veteran of Republican Party politics, National Committee Man from Massachusetts, Ron Kaufman. Good morning, Ron, and thanks for speaking with us.
Well, good morning, Bob. How's everything in Boston today?
Pretty good. Thank you very much. And I know that you think the GOP convention went well this week in Cleveland. How so?
Two things, Bob. There were two things we wanted to accomplish. One, we wanted to prosecute the case against Hillary Clinton, why she shouldn't be president of the United States. And I think we did it really well, particularly in the first 2 days. I thought that Governor Christie did a fabulous job, and Newt Gingrich did too. And the second thing we wanted to do, we show a different side of Donald Trump. And I think we also did that. Not only were his kids, the five great kids he have, terrific, showing who he really is as a man. I think his wife was spectacular, almost Jackie Kennedy-esque, if you will. And then last night, I think that his speech last night was, someone I know reported as dark. I think he reported as accurate. Americans out there today are really afraid about the future.
I want to ask about whether you think the Republican Party is now united behind Trump, considering that so few politicians from Massachusetts attended the convention, and Governor Baker announced, of course, a long time ago that he wouldn't go and also said that he won't vote for Trump, won't vote for Hillary Clinton either. Are you ready to say the party is united behind Trump? And I assume you are, so tell us what the evidence is.
Listen, we had a bruising primary. 17 people out there beating each other up pretty good for quite a while. But last week, the week went fabulous. It got better and better as it went along. And by the end of the night, you could sense the excitement building. And with his speech, a coming together of a whole bunch of people who believe strongly that, A, he could be and would be a great president, and B, he could and will beat Hillary Clinton.
You helped run the Mitt Romney campaign for the White House, the successful campaigns by two George Bushes for the White House. A lot of people think that all the convention miscues this week by the Donald Trump people prove that his campaign is not being well run. What's your inside take on that?
Well, let's talk about the convention first. There's one way to measure how well a convention worked. If you're behind by 8 or 9 points going in, and you come out even or ahead, that's what you call a really good convention by anyone's yardstick. That's going to happen. And it's a different kind of campaign. He campaigned, as you know, Bob, almost by himself, if you will. They didn't have a large staff on board. They didn't have the traditional kind of campaign structure that we're used to. And the good news, the Republican National Committee is totally different than it was 4 years ago. We have more people in the field than ever before.
Last question, Ron Kaufman. Will Donald Trump win Massachusetts in November, or what percentage of the vote do you think he'll get here in this very blue state?
Well, Bob, if Donald Trump wins Massachusetts in the fall, this is going to be a landslide election. I think he'll do very well. I don't know exactly where he's going to finish. But remember, Massachusetts was the second best state in the country, Bob, in the primary process. So his message is touching a whole bunch of people. And as you know, Bob, we've elected a lot of good Republican governors here for the last 15, 20 years. And I think, is it a shot? Yes, probably is. But let's be realistic. They're not going to spend a whole bunch of time in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts Republican National Committee man Ron Kaufman joining us this morning from Cleveland at the close of the GOP convention. We appreciate it, Ron. Thank you very much.
Always enjoy doing your show, Bob.
Throughout this week, you've heard from Republican convention delegates, political analysts, and, of course, politicians gathered in Cleveland. But all week, there's been a different scene outside of the convention hall bubble on the other side of the temporary fencing and the Jersey barriers surrounding the convention site. WBUR's Shannon Dooling traveled beyond the security perimeter to explore the streets of Cleveland.
You know, I'm glad it wasn't too much violence, but everything's pretty cool. Everybody loosened up after Monday, you know.
It's a 10-minute walk from the convention arena to the heart of downtown, where Cleveland's Teddy Tare Watson has been watching his city transformed from behind his keyboard.
People are sort of like loosening up more, because before, like, you could tell, like, the aura in the air, people were really tense, you know. You know, but, you know, they had it pretty secure, you know, as far as the, you know, authorities and stuff, you know. And they've been real friendly, trying to, you know, loosen up the people here as well. So it's all good, you know, it's all good.
So we're at the corner of East 4th and Euclid. And East 4th, it strikes me as sort of like the Bourbon Street of Cleveland, at least while the convention's here in town. You've got tables set out with Trump T-shirts, Trump for President pins. Let's turn the corner here and get a sense of what that stretch is like. Can I chat a little bit with you while you're walking?
Yeah, let's have a little party right here. Yeah.
Can you tell me your name?
Medea Benjamin.
Explain to me what you're doing right now. What is this event?
We're having a dance party. We tore up a bunch of really misogynist shirts that they were selling out here. Where most of us are not even Hillary Clinton fans. We're a peace group, and we think that men ought to get out of trying to regulate women's bodies.
Just
We just came down to see what the action was like today.
Why today?
Well,
today's the last day.
And this is, you know, historical.
Susan Dubois and David Kramer of Cleveland stroll along 4th Street amid the bustle of the hot afternoon.
I wanted to see what it would really be like to be in the city with this many people and this many policemen.
What's your impression so far?
Oh, impressed. I have to be impressed by the way things are organized and is so orderly and is so peaceful.
I'm very proud of our city right now, and so I wanted to come down at this time to really enjoy it.
You know, I know I see all these people for the last couple of days on TV, and they're such ardent supporters. And then you come here, and things are a little bit more quiet. People are eating, people are walking, getting from place to place. But I know in a couple of hours, they're going to be screaming their heads off again. And so the energy, there's still energy here. It's just not being voiced at the moment.
Though. It's a little warm here.
We have a lot of family in L.A.
If you could turn down the humidity just a bit,
it'd
be good for us.
It was very hot today.
California Highway Patrolman Joe Davey stands next to the public square fountain, chatting with Cleveland resident Raquel Wallace, who's here with her dad. Surrounding them on all sides are small knots of protest groups, along with formations of police officers from around the country.
What a beautiful city.
Thank you.
And everybody we've talked to, 99%, very nice, very friendly people.
Yeah. And sorry for all your losses, you know, the police department. It's unfortunate.
We really appreciate that.
My dad is auxiliary, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice talking with you.
Okay. Well, thanks, and have a safe trip back.
You betcha.
Nearby, young children run back and forth through the fountain. Eventually, the protesters begin to disperse, and the city begins to look a bit more like it will when the out-of-towners have all gone home. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling in Cleveland.